Welcome to Energy Medicine Radio with Dr. Wu Di, a celebration of unique healing modalities for your mind, body, and soul, opening the pathway to wellness, enlightenment, and creative living. Our mission is to share consciousness-shifting information with humanity and help people improve and transform their overall quality of health, wealth, and happiness. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Wu Di for Energy Medicine Radio, and it's a beautiful, beautiful evening in Miami. As I was driving home, I looked up, and there was the moon just hanging in the sky. It is so big and so beautiful. We just passed the full moon on Sunday, but the energies of the moon are still upon us. This is a time when there's actually more energy in the air, and you wouldn't believe how many people came in for treatments today. At my office, I saw 8 people. It started at 10 in the morning, and it went boom, 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 all the way until 7:30. And then I just got home, and I'm on the radio with you, and I have a very special friend of mine. She started the show with me, and she's been a radio personality in Tampa for years and broadcasts. And it's Ela. If you remember, she started the show with me. And what E does is she does a very special type of healing. She heals with sound, with her voice. She has a very melodic voice and has many, many different meditation tapes out and song tapes. And she does these workshops, and the workshops are with sound healing. Sound is a certain vibration. When you make a sound, that's why when we chant mantra, you know, we do different mantras, we do different sounds, we open different centers in the body. Every morning when I get up, I chant for about an hour. I do a few different mantras, and I set that vibration of the day, and then that changes my life. And as you get into sound healing, and he's going to share more of it with us, and I'm going to ask her if she's ready, because I would like to introduce Ela. Are you there?
Greetings. Thank you. Yes. Happy New Year.
Thank you. I'm so glad you came on the show. I know you've got a busy schedule, and it's hard to get you on, but here you are, and I'm really glad to have you, and welcome to the Energy Medicine Show.
Thank you.
This is our 12th show, and 12 is a lucky number.
Congratulations.
Well, anyway, dear, could you tell us a little bit about what sound healing is exactly?
Totally.
Some people don't know.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned vibration, and everything that moves vibrates from the smallest molecule to the universe. So as long as it's vibrating, it's actually making some kind of sound. And it's very interesting because we may not perceive the sound as it could be below or above our threshold of hearing. So the human ear can hear sound vibrations between 20 and around 20,000 cycles per second. And we perceive sound actually through bone conduction and through our skin. So people think, oh, we hear through the ears, but are actually hearing through resonation of the bones in the ears as well as the bones throughout the whole body. So every cell and going down to our DNA is actually experiencing vibration. So it's very interesting that even though we are not perhaps perceiving it as a sound, it still exists. So everything's vibrating, which is in itself, sound is really the basis of all that exists, created and uncreated. And in spiritual doctrines of the East, the first sound of the divine as it emanates, they had called it the primeval or primordial vibration Om, which is also called Shabda Brahman, which is meaning the sound of the divine. And according to the yogis and the mystics and the teachers all around the world, this primordial sound is actually like a swarm of bees. And it's a humming or a buzzing sound that can be heard through meditation. And there's practices in Tibet and in different parts of the world where the people will vibrate the sound of bees through their mouths to emulate this primordial sound. And then the sound also is inwardly transformed into light energy. So if you look at it in a different way, basking in this blissful kind of light energy is lighting up someone's thoughts, someone's vibration, and the spiritual doctrines have spoken about this bringing us closer to or listening or being in tune with the primordial sound brings you nearer to the divine consciousness. So there's a link between spirituality, the divine, and sound, and the creation of the world. And when we look at, like, when we're born, a baby begins to respond to sound at around 16 weeks. Even though the inner and the outer structures of the ear are not actually developed until 24 weeks, which goes to prove that we are actually experiencing sound through our bodies, per se. And the rhythm and the pitch of sound affects a baby's heart rate. So from this, we know that it affects our heart rate. And the heart rate in a baby, this, if it's listening to certain rhythms or pitches and the change happens, that change can actually last for up to an hour afterwards once the sound has ceased. So from this, we understand that the effects of sound are prolonged even after the sound has stopped. And it's pretty amazing because many of us are not aware of the potential of sound healing as a modality, and yet we're all aware of sound. Every day we have sounds coming to us on various different vibrations, whether it be your, you know, alarm clock in the morning, or you go to work and you hear the traffic and the car and the road and people, and then you turn on the radio and you hear the sounds there, and maybe even, you know, the sounds of computers or factory machines or whatever the sounds that you're listening to during the day, this is all affecting us. So when we come home after a day and we have listened to all these environmental sounds, we go to sit in front of the TV, for example, then we hear sounds of commercials and movies, and every moment of our day is really infiltrated by sound. Even if you're in a really quiet space, you will hear the sounds of your own body, your own bodily fluids and other sounds and functions in the body coming through as sound.
You know, it was interesting that you said that, you know, we hear, you know, from a vibrational, you know, vibrational. A patient came in today, and when he was 14 or 15, he had some type of brain tumor. So they had to operate on him, and they took out the tumor. And then over his ear, his right ear, he had, it looked like a snap. When you have, remember those shirts that would have snaps on them instead of buttons? Mm-hmm. He had a snap on his head. And I said, what is that? He said, oh, I plug a hearing aid into that. And what happens is when somebody says anything, it vibrates through my bone of my skull, and I'm able to hear. That's pretty amazing. And, you know, I listened to him, but I really didn't get it until you just told me that that vibration, you know, is heard through the skull. So it's amazing. You know, you see something one moment, and the next moment somebody tells you about it. I have a question. How can we use this sound healing to open us up? You know, in my meditations, I'm always asking inside, well, I'd like to be more open. How can we use sound for that? Or, you know, I mean, I ring a bell. You know, I have a bell and a Georgie and King Shaw's, you know, they're little things that chime. And although I use them every morning, I'm wondering, can you tell our listening audience how that sound vibration affects our health and our spiritual opening? Can you give us a little insight on that?
Sure. There's a couple of different ways that you can use sound for sound healing. You could use sound passively, meaning that you can set an intention, for example, which is not actually a passive activity. So you set an intention of something that you would like to shift or manifest or heal, and then you play sound that is in the vibration that induces for you a certain brainwave activity. In the different brainwaves, there's, like right now, we're in beta. So beta is when we're speaking, when we're thinking. There's actually three betas. There's the beta that we're on now, and then there's a beta where it's slightly elevated, and then there's one above that where we might be in a fight or flight response. So there's three levels of this beta, which is the waking state. And let's say that the first state is in the positive expression of that, it would be relaxed attention, or you would have a calm body. So you might be in beta when you're reading, for example. So you have a relaxed attention and a calm body. When beta is in the improper expression, it's continuously present so that it's not allowing the body to go into any other brain states, allowing relaxation. So this could indicate chronic fatigue, for example. When beta is activated on that second level, it might be used for when you need to have a very sharp mind and you're learning something. So there's a slight difference. The first one you might be reading and you're calm. The second one is more of an active attention. And when the improper expression of that is happening, you might not be able to fall asleep because your mind is working overtime. And on the third level, it's when you're in high anxiety or on high alert. And this would also be another reason to not be able to fall asleep. How does this relate to sound healing? Well, sound healing works by shifting the vibration of the brain into a different frequency. And the first frequency that would drop into is alpha. So it's the place where you're daydreaming, for example, so you're super relaxed and you kind of, it's that also place before you go to sleep. So you'll be dozing in and out. That's your alpha. By going into this place, it allows the body to disengage from that thinking place and that high active attention and go into relaxation or the first stage of falling asleep or deep meditation, whichever, which allows the body to then heal and do the healing work. So the first key And the first place that the sound healing takes us is into that relaxation mode. Once the body is in relaxation mode, it can let go. The resistance is dropped. So in essence, what the sound healing is doing is it's lowering our resistance to healing and improving deep relaxation and reducing stress and pain. When there's less resistance, there's less stress. And so the first way would be to use music that sounds to you harmonious and that is pleasing to you. And certain frequencies of music are going to be more harmonious than others. And I feel that the human ear and our own preferences can hear what sounds harmonious to us, and this changes because we're changing constantly and people are very unique. Not everyone's on the same vibration at the same time, so what may seem pleasing and relaxing to you and induce this state of deep relaxation may be different for someone else. And the next way of using sound as a healing modality starts to become more specific, where one can actually tune in to the sound of the issues that they want to resolve, or if there's a particular physical ailment, that ailment has its own sound frequency. So you're a doctor and you know about the different energies related to the different organs, for example. So each of our organs has a different sound frequency, and each of the muscle groups has a different sound frequency, each of the different parts of our body. And in a coherent, healthy body, this is vibrating at a high level of efficiency, where when it's time for the body to relax, it relaxes, and it's like the body does its own healing. It knows what to do, and we're able to get out of our own way. So sound is very efficient to help us detach. So the second way is, if we wanted to work on a certain problem, we're feeling the vibration of it. So we can feel the vibration of that issue, whether it's psychological, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a frustration, an emotion, a problem at work, whatever it is. If you zoom into the feeling of how it sounds, then you sit in a quiet place and start to express that sound. You can let the sounds come out from your own being. And this is almost like a form of homeopathy, where you're giving the same sound that is, or the same vibration expressed into sound of that particular issue, outwardly given by yourself, acts homeopathically and in essence cancels it out. So it could take about half an hour to an hour to develop these sounds and to really vocalize these sounds out. So this is another way of using sound, where you're actually creating the sound yourself.
And is it better when one creates it themselves, or listening to the radio, or listening to music, or what's the best? Is there one that works better than the other?
They're all different, and different occasions will be able to utilize different expressions of that. So if you're in a place where it's not appropriate to make sound, then that wouldn't be the occasion to do that exercise. If you're in a place where you're able to connect with nature, that sound, that's universal sound. And so this is another way that you could connect with sound and utilize it. And it's not that it's better, or more so, are you in the place and do you have the time or the opportunity to connect with nature at that time and use nature as your sound healing modality? They're all different, and when you're creating sound from yourself, you're not singing. So this is not a singing modality where there's words. It is sound itself. And it's a very powerful, potent expression, and many, many people have apprehensions about singing, about vocalizing. And these have past experiences attached to them, judgments from themselves, whatever the case may be. We're not doing this in this exercise, so it's very useful to know that this is really not about singing in the notes that you're creating as much as creating sound and utilizing the vibration and the breath to clear the body of ailments or issues.
Could you take us through like a little bit of something, you know, like a sound healing that we could do on the air? Is that possible?
Sure. Let me see. Now, when we're talking about this kind of sound, as I mentioned, it may not be the most melodic sound that we make, and that's not important. So there's sounds that we can do, and I'll take you through one sound. And this sound happens to actually be a sound that the Tibetan monks do that practice crystal sound healing. So the sound itself or the expression is E, and it's E in a very high pitch. So when you hear it, you can almost hear how a crystal singing bowl would sound very similar. And the Tibetan monks figured out that this has incredible healing potential and capacity. So I'll do a little example for you. And it's so simple, and it's just repeated over and over and over, and the sound goes like this.
Well, you broke a glass.
Right?
I just lost three glasses that were on the table. Shattered my glasses here. Wow, I certainly didn't expect that.
Funny, right?
Is and that E after your name? What is that? What did you just do to us?
Well, I didn't really do anything as far as I made sound. I simply made sound. And it's interesting because people think, oh, sound healing and, you know, what kind of things do you have to do and it must be really complicated. But it's actually really, really, really simple. And that was a sound, as I mentioned earlier, that the Tibetan monks do, and they do these mantra practices where it's over and over and over again, repeating that sound, that one sound, over and over and over again. And eventually what happens is the body is changing frequency. So it's a way to create a difference in vibration from wherever you are at that particular time. And sound made by yourself is the quickest and easiest way to do that.
Wow, that's great. You know, you mentioned something that singing bowls, I'm not sure exactly what that is, a singing bowl.
Okay, so crystal singing bowls are one of the tools that I use in sound healing. And actually another Tibetan teacher, Namkhai Norbu, said a quote about the crystal, and he said, by coming to understand the nature of crystal, we'll be able to make sense of the rays and reflections that emanate from it. So crystal and crystal singing bowls, they're very, very interesting modalities. The crystals are like information keepers of the universe from the earth. And the crystal singing bowls, which are used as instruments for sound healing, are made from 99.9% quartz crystal.
And they are they carved of the crystal, or is that a composite? What does that mean?
Well, if you visualize the quartz crystal as sand, it's thrown or blown in a centrifugal kiln, and it's about 4,000 degrees, and that takes the form of a bowl, so it looks like a bowl. So all of a sudden, you have organized crystal from a sand and particle that has now been formed through heat and centrifugal force into a bowl shape. And each bowl reflects a different energy system, a different note, a different chakra, and a different vibration. So with this crystal singing bowls, they're emanating the crystalline energy, which has its own information, plus they're emanating sound frequency and light frequency. And the difference between hearing tones from the crystal singing bowls, or even, I'm going to reference nature because nature is in that, because crystal singing bowls are made from a natural source. And something like telephones or microwaves or our electrical AC frequencies, those frequencies are incoherent. They're chaotic frequencies. They actually fracture the human electrical field. Whereas crystal singing bowls emit a pure tone and a coherent harmonic frequency, so that they're harmonious with the electrical field of the human body. And this is really, really interesting because it's like medicine. And if we look at our bodies as frequency and vibration that is always shifting, if you look at it as we're not always in tune, then we can use modalities like sound healing to help us retune our body.
Wow. Well, I know in the medical qigong, the energy type healing that I've been doing for a while, is there are certain sounds that we do like that'll break up a tumor. You chant a certain vibration, you chant a certain sound, and you direct that into the person. It doesn't have to be, it can be sub-vocal where they don't hear it, because if you're going, whoa, whoa, that sometimes the patient gets freaked out. So I know that I'm not sure the difference. Do the crystal bowls have different frequencies to them? Are there different ones? Do they tune them like tuning forks?
The crystal bowls are interesting in that they are born in whatever note they want to be born in. So someone doesn't go and say, I want to make a G bowl, which G relates to the throat chakra, or I want to make an F bowl, F the note relates to the heart chakra. Once they come out of that kiln, they're already what they're going to be, and then someone goes to tune them, but it's to find out what that tuning is. So it's not to tune them initially. It's to find out how did they come out.
So the ball comes out with a certain
note.
Vibration or a certain ball, a certain note, like it's
right.
An A or a. That's so cool.
It's very interesting. And so if you want a certain set of balls, for example, it might take, you know, a little bit to put that together because maybe the ball isn't born yet.
Huh.
And
so
I've got a lot. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell me what do you have?
Well, I've got some balls that are kind of unique because they were born, I waited for them, and they don't come up that often. So it's the size of the bowl and the note that may be a little rarer. You might get various bowls in certain sizes to be more common.
Uh-huh.
And then other sizes, they come every now and again. So I've got a couple of those, which are really lovely. And the bigger the bowl, the deeper the sound. So the sound...
I like that.
It's gorgeous because they're really... they're very powerful. And they can cut through and clean up and go where... The vibration goes where it needs to go. So there's its own protocol, for example... The sound knows where in the body to go to remove or relieve blockages.
That's incredible. I know they do the same thing with tuning rods, don't they? Or tuning forks, they're called?
They do. I'm not experienced with the tuning forks, but it's a similar thing where they're creating sounds. And you were mentioning the sounds for the Qigong, and this is another practice because, for example, like the lung sound is... So it's kind of similar to what I did earlier with the... And the kidney sound is... And that's just a sound that goes on and on. You just repeat that sound over and over, and every organ, every major organ has a different sound. So it is the same principle. Actually, the triple warmer is the most close to the one I did, and the triple warmer sound is hee. So it has an H in front of the E.
Hmm. Wow.
So pretty interesting stuff.
Right. I know you do some workshops with crystal ball healing, don't you?
I do events, and they are more an event than a workshop per se. So it's really for somebody to receive and allows people to be in a safe place, a nurturing place, and experience these frequencies and the changes within their own body in such a pleasing, relaxing way. And it allows their body to really disengage from the everyday thinking and, active attention per se, and go into that deep meditational sleep.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I'd certainly like to experience one of those events. And at the event, you would get a healing, wouldn't you?
Totally. People receive healings of all different kinds from the sound. And I've been doing sound since the 90s. And the first kind of sounds that I actually started doing was with my voice and with the crystal singing bowls. And I've been very fortunate to be able to intuit, if I'm with somebody, what sound is the sound that their vibration would benefit from. And this has been very helpful. So I use a combination of my voice and the crystal singing bowls.
And you do private healings? Like, could somebody come and schedule and you put the crystal bowl magic on them or something?
Yes,
like
I do. I do private sessions, and I do sessions for all different occasions, because it's also a very balancing and almost celebratory thing or experience when the crystal singing bowls are sounding. They're very melodic, and they can be very harmonious to groups of people. So I've done weddings, I've done life ceremonies, openings for events and invocations for events and ceremonies. So I've done events. I did Chinese New Year in the temple a couple of years ago. I've done the singing bowls in the synagogue. I've done them in churches.
Wow. That's great. That's really great. Well, I'd certainly like to see one of these singing bowls or hear it. I know that you make a lot of music tapes and songs. Is there anything that you've just produced or something new that you came up with in the last month or so?
I haven't got anything on the... I've got things in the works right now. I do have a couple of tracks that we could play, and this is from my album Octaves of Light. And the first one is actually with this special technology from HemiSync, and it's binaural technology. And if the listeners are new to this, it's not always perceived in the sound, but it's kind of underneath the music. So your body will feel the vibrations, per se. And what it is that different beats at different times are going into the left and the right ear, so that the brain actually connects the two and creates new neural pathways.
Wow. Well, let's spin it, baby. I want to hear that. Let my neural path open up.
So that track is called Thule, and it's off the Octaves of Light album.
Oh,
That was just beautiful. So melodic, it put me in a meditative state. I guess that's what it's supposed to do, huh?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I was gone for a while, floating through the universe. Wow. I'll tell you, like I said, I had a busy day and I worked all day, and this was like a full on, because I get up in the morning at 6 and start my meditation and then my exercise at 7 and boom, boom, boom. And that just recharged my whole system. I feel really good now.
Nice.
So thank you for sharing that. It's not often that my guests come on with such beautiful music.
Thank you. I use a lot of nature sounds in my music.
Uh-huh.
And that is also because the nature sounds, like the crystal singing bowls, emanate this pure frequency, which is coherent, so it really helps us. These are healing frequencies. And with all of the EMF-generated fields that are happening between, wireless telephones and all of the computers and networks, and there's a lot of energy and frequencies that are being shifted that is not really in our control, per se.
Right, I know it's really different. When I lived in Colorado before cell phones, and I'd climb in the mountains, you just hear the sound of nature. And now I'm living in an apartment, and everybody's got telephones and internet, and who knows what's going through my head that I don't know.
And so, this is exactly why I feel that sound is even more important, or healing sounds, or the use of healing sounds is even more important now than it ever was.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because it can clear some of that static. Luckily for me, I live a few blocks from the ocean. Every morning I go to the ocean. What's funny to me is I see some people with headsets on, listening to music. Mm. I just listen to the sound of the sea. There's a meditation that I learned years ago from Kripal Singh. He did a lot of meditations on sound healing. And what I'll do is, after I finish a set of Qigong, I'll focus on the sound of the waves. And then I'll just keep my attention on the sound of the waves. And then every so often you're doing that and you'll hear an airplane fly by. And I have the students focus on that airplane, put their hearing, on that airplane, and follow it as far as they can. And as the plane flies away, it sort of pulls you out of your body and opens up everything, and then back on the waves again. It's a beautiful way to calm things down in your own body.
Nice.
Yeah, and what I just listened to did the same thing. It calmed everything down. Because to tell you the truth, I was a little tired before I heard that.
It's interesting, because I do practice meditation and Qigong, and before I make music, one of the things that I like to do is go into my own meditational space. And I really think that I feel that it helps the process of making music that is in alignment with positive frequencies.
Mm.
It's kind of like starting from myself,
Right. Well, for those of us that, that teach this work and share this stuff, it's so important to do your own practice, because if you don't eat that energy, guess what? It's going to eat you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the good news and the bad news. Eat the energy, you'll get stronger. You don't eat the energy's still there chomping away.
There was a study that was done in 1988, and the participants, the study was for people that had neck problems and TMJ problems, And when they were asked to relax, they actually tensed up, indicating that there was some kind of performance anxiety within the first 5 minutes. And they showed an increase in the jaw closing. I don't know whether you've ever experienced that tension in the jaw when you get stressed out.
Sometimes.
And the participants were then placed on audiovisual entrainment, and they had stimulation which was delivered at 10 hertz, which is about the optimal alpha. We were talking about alpha before, to clear the anxiety and bring one into a deep meditation state or the stage before falling asleep. So they all had this frequency, and after 6 minutes, they relaxed even further, and they started relaxing with the sound, which is an indicator that it bypassed the thinking of the brain. And it's something that we often do automatically, is we'll have these different reactions. And doing Qigong, doing breath work, doing sound healing helps to circumnavigate some of our resistance to relaxing, if you will. And it's a very powerful, these are very powerful modalities to reduce stress, because when you reduce stress, then the body can heal naturally.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Because a lot of times, the body, you know, I have it every day. People come in, they're on a lot of medicines, and they're saying, I've been on this medicine for a long time, and I'm still sick. What can you do? Can you help me, doctor? And a lot of times when I'm working with someone, it's not so much what needle I put in or what I do. It's the vibration that I generate, the way they're touched.
Right.
I know a girl, so funny, I worked on her, and she said, you opened my first and second chakra, and I'm wondering if I could come over and you'd open my heart chakra. So anyway, so I talked to her on the phone, and she said, well, did you read my message? Can I come over? I said, let me think about this for a while. I don't know if it was an invitation for a date or she wants to get healed. Anyway, the power of, you know, oh, and one more question I had. We still have a little time. You know what they say, in the beginning was the Word, you know, and, it, you know, in the Bible or in Bible studies, I'm not really a Bible scholar, but in the beginning, the Word, and the Word was, you know, whatever it was, that is the beginning of the vibration, isn't it?
Yes, the sound is the basis of all that exists. It's created and uncreated. And
right.
So that sound and what the mystics called the Shabda Brahman, or the sound of the divine, that Om sound, that primordial vibration of Om, is the first sound.
That's pretty awesome, huh?
So there are practices where people chant Om continuously to tune into that divine and the sound of the divine.
Right. And then as you open that, that opens different centers in your chakras and in your being, and healing takes place.
Yes.
Yeah, I know I've listened to those tapes by the Gregorian, what are they, Gregorian monks? Is that what they're called?
Gregorian chants.
Yeah, they are so beautiful. I don't care what background you have or what religious thing. When you listen to that, it's like your music. It's like, woof, you're off onto a different part of the planet. Well, anyway, I am so appreciative that you took the time to be with our audience tonight and share this stuff, because people hear about sound healing and vibrational healing and crystal healing, and I think that you brought a lot of clarity to the audience and allowed us to, you know, sort of open up to a different vibration. You know, all the holidays have just finished. You know, we did Christmas and Christmas carols, and we did New Year's and all that excitement. And now that we're moving into full winter, you know, I mean, not too much in Florida where it's cold, but I talked to friends who are up north, and they said it was like 19 degrees. So you don't really want to go out at that time. You sort of want to internalize and use the quietness of the season, the real quietness. If you've ever been out in winter, It is so, so quiet.
Well, I was going to say that song, Thule, the inspiration for that was winter, and you can hear the wind in it.
Right. Right. Well, anyway, we only have about 4 minutes left for the show. I just want to thank you. This is really a heartfelt energy that you shared with us. And, you know, a few months, if you're going to have a workshop or, you know, one of your events, you'd come on the show and share a little bit about it. And I'm sure there's many of us that would love to attend one of your programs. Is it possible? Do you sell any of your tapes? Can we get them somewhere?
Hi. I have my music up on CD Baby, and it's cdbaby.com/elove, ELUV. And CD Baby is all one word.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll tune into that. So if you want to get some of these healing vibes, tune into cdbaby/elove.
cdbaby.com/elove.
So I want to thank you, E. And,
thank you.
Blessings for the new year. I'm so glad that you came in and shared your energy and your healing vibrations with us. Many blessings from my heart to yours. It's
thank
Dr.
you, sweetheart.
E. All right. And Energy Medicine will be on the air again in 2 weeks. So tune in. And stay happy, healthy, and let the vibration of the season heal your body, mind, and spirit.
Join Dr. Wu Di every first and third Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or listen again online at bbsradio.com/energymedicineradio. Wishing you the best in your health, wealth, and happiness.